President, members of council, the legislature is out of session currently. They'll be reconvening on the 4th of next month. And I will go over with you what's happened in the last few days. There have been no changes to most of the bills that you have on your report. The first page all remains the same. I'll add for you that House Bill 44 is scheduled for its committee hearing. The committee it's in is scheduled to have a committee hearing on the 5th of June, but the agenda for that hearing has not yet been established. On page 2, House Bill 63 remains on the House ready list. There are no other changes with the three draft bills on that page that have not been introduced. House Bill 74, which was introduced on April 16th, has not moved from its past position in committee. Last meeting, on the 7th, you asked me to pursue a tabling for House Bill 95, which is a bill that would provide the Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control the ability to impose environmental liens on real property. I didn't get it tabled, but I did speak with some leadership folks in the House of Representatives, and the bill was removed from the ready list. Removed from the agenda and placed on the ready list. They have not acted on that bill. This was to give Mr. Evermore and his people some time to examine that bill. The bill also has had an amendment offered since then. I'll let Mr. Moore explain his analysis.
Yes, there was concern when it came before the council last meeting concerning the power of DENREC. The amendment does increase the amount of time before a lien is placed from 21 days now to 30 days. What would happen? There are three specific instances that this would occur. The first one would be if it's one of the general hazardous waste sites. The second would be if there was leakage from underground storage, or third, from above ground storage. And what would happen if it was going to entail certain types of cleanup, and that cleanup did not occur, then DENREC would have an opportunity by giving 30 days notice to the landowner to place a lien. It would be specific to that property only. If they wanted to expand it to other properties that landowner owned, they would not be able to do that arbitrarily. It would have to go through the court system in order to do that, just like any other lien would have to go. There was also some concern about the priority of the lien, whether that lien, as reported last time, would have priority over all other liens. And obviously that would affect us, because that would affect our tax liens. Mm-hmm. It does not. And the amendment clarifies that by stating that after it goes into effect, it would have priority only on those other liens that come after that. That's the same way any other lien would take place. Mm-hmm. So it appears that the amendment does clarify some of that. And looking at this, it is specific to these specific instances. It's not a concern where DENREC is getting this power over all types of things.
Mm-hmm. Help me understand that. Would that apply to a dump that's been used for construction waste? They've been fined, but they haven't cleaned it up in years. Does that give DENREC more leverage in order to get it cleaned up? I mean, does that help at all?
Mrs. Deaver, I spoke with David Small, who's the deputy director of DENREC, and he told me that the energy behind this bill in the beginning was the fact that there were a number of small businesses. I thought it was a large corporation target, but the example he used was an owner who might own a dozen gas stations, mm-hmm. and one gas station has a leaky tank and pollutes mm-hmm. the property. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That owner might just walk away from the property and decide, well, it really wasn't a very good location for me anyway, and I'll just give it to yeah. DENREC in lieu of paying the cleanup, because okay. the cleanup mm-hmm. would be much more money. Okay. This then puts the taxpayer on the hook. And what DENREC was trying to do through this amendment to the state code was to remove the taxpayer mm-hmm. from being the primary sponsor of these cleanups,
right.
but to make the property owner accountable. He didn't mention dump sites like you mm-hmm. just exampled, but mm-hmm. he did mention any type of pollution. I would suppose a dump site could be,
I think so.
If it
Whole
could be one, it,
yeah,
if in fact it were not in compliance with whatever remediation DENREC required, it could then be considered a problem site.
Okay, so it may affect.
Yes.
It may affect.
And they were also, in this bill, they were trying, as Reverend Moore explained, they were trying to be able to reach other properties the same owner has. Mm-hmm. And that was explained to me by Mr. Small that many times a company will put small LLCs around each property as the owner so that you can't reach the owner's other properties. Mr. Moore told me that mm-hmm. that wouldn't change, that the LLCs would still protect the corporate veil of that one property. Mm-hmm. However, that's been addressed in the amendment. Okay, but you still won't be able to contact other properties if they're owned by separate and different LLCs.
Or so that's different names, possibly.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. So it appears that this bill is intended to save the taxpayer the responsibility and trying to levy the responsibilities back on the property itself.
Yeah, that's what I'd like to do.
That's what it appears to me. And I do expect to see this bill probably move once the General Assembly reconvenes on the 4th. But I don't have any particular schedule to give you as to the timing. However, we did have it removed from the House agenda. That was the good thing to give us time. I will need you to give me direction if you would like me to address that legislation in any way. There are two other bills that I wanted to draw your attention to that have just been recently introduced. House Bill 135 is a bill that would allow a casino to be built in Sussex County. That bill was introduced on the 9th, and on the 15th it was tabled in the committee that it had been assigned to. It was assigned to the House Gaming Committee, and they immediately tabled the bill. So it doesn't appear the bill is moving very fast. It has been tabled, but I wanted to bring your attention to it. That's House Bill 135. The other bill that I wanted to bring to your attention was introduced on the 14th of May, House Bill 137, and Mrs. Jennings, I think, is prepared to possibly make comments on this bill, because this bill may cause a change in how we calculate our pension.
Currently, our pensioners, if they were to pass away, their survivor gets 50% of their pension. This proposed bill would allow the survivor to get 75-60%, different than what we propose currently. It looks like the legislation wants us to be consistent with what the state does. So they're changing how we contribute. I don't have a dollar figure on how much it could cost, because I don't know how many spouses out-survive their other spouse and things like that, but what we are doing currently is working. I haven't had any complaints.
I have a problem with that a little bit. If someone comes to work for me, and this is what I promised them after they leave me, and they had their full understanding, same as this county, why is someone come from somewhere else telling me we have to change that agreement?
I believe that the ambition in this bill, and I'm not certain because I haven't had that much time to study it yet, is to require all pensions in the state in governments to be the same as the state's pension plan. It appears to be a feature that is not in the county requirements but is for state employees.
You're talking about not the state.
Okay. Are there any other instances similar to that where we have to comply or
a number?
Oh, thank you, Mr. Kramer. I'm sitting back too far, and I'd like to be heard. Thank you so much. Are there any similar instances where we are expected to meet the state's agenda, so to speak?
Well, yes, there are, Mrs. DeRoy. Are you speaking of just personnel issues?
Yes.
Well, there are a number of foundations, I'll say, in state code that essentially establish a charter for the counties.
Right.
That's in Chapter 9 of the state code. Mm-hmm. But there are a number of requirements that we're required to do mm-hmm. that are mandated in the state code, not just this pension.
Because the state does it.
Mm-hmm. Well, or the state has an opinion as to how we should be conducting that portion of our business.
An opinion?
Well, yeah, I would suppose it's their opinion.
Mm-hmm. But there are also places where Sussex County is distinctly different than Kent County or
yes.
Newcastle Absolutely. County as well. It is not universal in the code that everything that is done in Kent County has to be, or Sussex County has to be the same as Kent or others.
And
there are differences. And at times we go to legislature and ask, you know, that be changed so that we are consistent. Other times it was inconsistent because the different counties wanted it to be inconsistent based upon their own needs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we still have the opportunity to do and make that decision.
I'm curious, what is the, how well does the state fund their pension fund? What's their percentage, is it?
Mr. Cole, I don't have an answer for that, but I can
tell
you.
Curious how good a job they've been doing with their pension.
That's
why I also believe, in back to this bill, I believe that any change, as Ms. Jennings explained, would have to be documented by the employee prior to them beginning to receive benefits. Wasn't that true?
That's correct. Right, yeah. Before they retire.
So it would be a choice. The bill provides choice for employees, not necessarily a mandated change.
Mm-hmm. So you have to select it when you when you retire.
The employee would have to make this change in-house so that there could be a difference in the withholding or the allotment of their pension monies,
right,
so that it would help fund this spousal benefit.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's how I read it.
Right. The employee could choose to take only 98% of their pension so that their spouse can receive 75% of their...
The federal is the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, we ought to look and just make sure we're aware of the financial impact.
Yes.
Whatever they do up there, because we just saw the Affordable Care Act. Every time you turn around, if it's something else like this, you could look up in a couple of years and be in a situation where we got to have
I will
a
keep an eye
impact.
On that, and I will keep Mrs. Jennings informed as to how this bill moves, and she may have to join me in testifying about this bill when it comes to the
and
House floor.
And I think we ought to write a letter, Todd, to some of these legislators, letting them know that we think we can, you know, figure out what our best benefit package is to the employees that we try to appeal to and what we want to do, and we're really capable of doing that. And we'd prefer not to be put on a schedule that matches other people just because we don't think that's the appropriate way to do it.
Yeah, I don't think the jobs are comparable particularly. You know, it's a different situation.
Do we need a motion to have that done?
It's the quality of life in Sussex County that's worth its weight in gold. You can't put a dollar figure on that.
Well, if that's a motion, I'd certainly second it.
What's that? The motion to do what? To write a letter?
Write a letter.
Well, I'll make that motion to correspond to the legislators and that we would like to have the independence that we've had in the past.
Second. Have a motion, Mr. Cole. Second, Mr. Phillips.
Oh, geez.
Any questions on the motion?
Well, this is the first time I've heard of it, and I'm not ready. What?
Same with me.
Yeah. Well, you've been here 25 years, and I've been here 4 years, and I want more time to look at it before I vote.
Okay.
So, you know, however that's handled best, I have to vote no. I guess at this point, if you need a vote, no.
Okay. We'll call for the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
No.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Obviously, yes. Motion carried. Anything else?
Mr. President, I also wanted to bring your attention to, I forwarded you all a copy of the Animal Welfare Task Force final report. We did receive it a few days late, but just a couple of items I wanted to lift out so that you know I was there for the meetings. In the very beginning, on the first page of the report, the last sentence of the first paragraph under Office of Animal Welfare, this talks about establishing a state office of animal welfare under the Department of Health and Social Services. The last sentence says, this office will be fully funded by the state. And on the next page, there's I'd like to make sure you're aware of the first paragraph, consolidation of services into office. The office should research best practices and a spectrum of models for dog control management as the system is struggling in its current form under the counties. This research would be used to investigate the possibility of returning county responsibilities back to the state under the office's oversight of operations. So I was trying at every meeting to make the point that we felt that the state should be serving in this capacity in any event. And there's one other thing I wanted to point out for you on page 6 in the report, last sentence of the first paragraph. I made sure they included this. It says, due to the cost of contracts, Sussex County supported returning dog controls to the state. So I just wanted you to know that those items were covered and mentioned in the final report so that your wishes were conveyed.
Thank you.
That's the end of my report.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Bob Jones. Come on down.